I want to say before we begin, you know, today, forgot to mention, Greg was leading in music because Mike had an accident yesterday. He's pretty sore, and I appreciated Greg doing that. But, you know, Greg had just the words as he was praying. I was listening to the words of his prayer, and he used the word opportunities. He used the word servant. And that's exactly what we're going to talk about today. Basically, a servant's opportunities. And all of us have these opportunities. And today, I'm preaching to you with a heavy heart. I guess my heart's been heavy the last several weeks. I've lost some people in my life that I love very dearly. Brother Dane Barger passed away several weeks ago, and Brother Bob this week. I miss them already. I know I'll keep missing them until I see them again. And you may say, well, you know, you're the preacher. You're not supposed to be sad. Don't you know what the Bible says about the hope that we have and that you're going to see these people again? I believe I do. Absolutely, I believe it. But, you know, the Lord gives you people in your life, and He gives you people to love, and they come packaged in a body, and when you realize you're not going to see and hold and talk to that body, well, I don't think you can be happy about that. Well, I'm happy for what's going to happen, but the situation that I'm in right now, the situation that you're in right now, I can't say that I'm exuberant. Happy for them, of course. But I'm naturally sad because the body that I grew to love here on the earth is not living on the earth anymore. That's the reality of it. I'm not going to paint it with a big Christian picture and say, oh, this is wonderful, this is wonderful. Yes, of course, I'm happy for them. But the reality of it is we have grief and mourning and sadness because we miss somebody. But I've taken time to think about them, where they are now, and not just saying they're in heaven. They're in heaven. Boy, what an all-inclusive statement. They're in heaven. What does that tell anybody else? They're in heaven. Where is heaven? Well, heaven's somewhere up there. They're in heaven. They are in heaven, but thinking about the journey from death in this world to life in heaven in the presence of Jesus, thinking about that, I think it'll change your day. I think it'll change your week. I think it'll change your life, and I don't think we think about it. I think we think about the canon of works that a person has in their life, and then as soon as they go to heaven, we think they're in heaven, and boom, our mind shuts off. We don't think about us in heaven or when we get to heaven or the process. Hey, we die and we go to heaven. We're Christians. We die and we go to heaven. It's not like that. There are things that the Bible gives us, explicit details that we need to know. It tells us about the journey from this life to heaven. It tells us about after we're in heaven. It tells us about the future in heaven. The Bible gives us plenty of details about what happens when we breathe our last breath here. I know we like to think, and I hear it so many times, and I think it's okay. This is a comforting thing. You'll hear people say, this person is doing this, or they're doing that in heaven, or this person is fishing, or this person is hunting, or this person is painting something like this. This is not the way it is. I'm not busting your bubble this morning, but that's not heaven. At least I can't verify it by the Bible, and that's what we're using as our guide. If you want to think that, that's fine. I'm not going to debate you on it. I'm just going to tell you what the Bible says, that the truth of the matter is, when a believer that has left his earthly body gets to heaven, he is overwhelmed with joy, or she is overwhelmed with joy right now. Smiling, praising God for their salvation, worshiping Jesus and thanking Him and fellowshipping with other believers who are in heaven, joining up with people who are celebrating the same thing, singing praise and honor and glory to God. We really want to think that they're thinking about us, but you're really putting yourself on the same level as Jesus would, Would you turn your head to look at someone else if Jesus was in front of you? You might say, well, you don't know how much I love. You will be in awe of Jesus Christ. Right now, that person who is a believer that has passed away has a heaven mindset. They're praising God. And they're praising God in an opposite way than we are. I've explained to you this heaven mindset before, but if we could ever get a grasp of this heaven mindset while we have this earthly mindset, it would change us. The heaven mindset is completely different. Whereas you've graded your week and your month saying, this happened and I've had this financial hardship, or I've had this physical hardship, or I've had this issue happen, or this didn't work out, or this blew up, or now I've got to do this, or hey, this person's sick and this person. Listen, a heaven mindset is different. A heaven mindset is taking those same things and saying, God, you know, when that happened, I fell on my knees and I prayed to you. Thank you for letting that happen. In this mindset, we look at the new car, the new house, the new job, the new finance, and we say, thank you, Lord, this is the greatest thing that happened. In the heaven mindset, we look at our biggest time of need and say, Lord, that's when I needed you. That's when I was close to you. Thank you for letting that happen. Isn't it so different? See, heaven is about being close to God. Heaven is about looking at the things that happen in this life as the opportunities to get close to God and praising Him for those things and praising Him for our salvation. As I thought about my Christian brothers that had such a testimony here on earth, and as I was preparing for Brother Bob's funeral, I kept thinking about them standing in front of Jesus and Him saying, well done, my good and faithful servant. But the more I thought about it, I realized that many people are not thinking about this. There are probably people listening today that are not even thinking about standing in front of Jesus and what He'll say to them. As a matter of fact, we're certain that there are people that don't even believe that they will stand in front of Jesus. For this, I am truly sad. My heart began to break this week for a whole entirely different reason. I look back at my life and I think about those big portions of my life when that wasn't even a thought to me, and the wasted opportunities that I had to serve the Lord. The people that came in and out of my life that I was supposed to represent Him to, and I didn't. And I realize that some of you are in that position now. You'll be in it tomorrow. And it's basically wasted opportunities that we will be judged on. And I just think if we can get it fixed in our mind, a picture of us standing in front of Jesus, well, it would be no different than the motivation that a child has knowing they're going to get a report card. It would be no different than the motivation that someone has knowing they're going to have a meeting at the end of the year and it's going to be an evaluation. You work towards that, don't you? As Christians, have we forgot that we're going to have an evaluation? And we don't want to do it just because we know we have to. We want to do it because we want to. The more I thought about it, the more I had this picture of us standing in front of Jesus and what He's going to say to us. And I thought about the others that are going through their Christian life, and they may believe it, but they're so caught up in this earthly mindset of what we have here, what kind of pleasure, what kind of activity, or what kind of possession that we have here, what kind of name we're making for ourselves here. I feel like a lot of times we just don't consider what kind of praise or criticism that we'll receive when we stand in front of Jesus. I think that's a picture that needs to be in our mind. Even those people who think they're religious, who are doing things for their own recognition, and there are some Christians listening today that are so concerned with what someone might say about them that they choose to just keep their faith to themselves. Oh, I won't know how to say something, or I don't want somebody to think that I'm this way or that way, so I'll just keep it to myself. Jesus said in John 12:43, "For they love the praise of men more than the praise of God." Has that happened to us, you think? If you were to take the canon of works in your life, would it be motivated towards the praise that you would receive from men? Or is it motivated toward the praise you would receive from God? That's a huge thing, isn't it? I think the biggest praise that a man can ever hear, when I say man, I mean men and women, the biggest praise that someone could ever hear from God is, "Well done, my good and faithful servant." So I preached this funeral yesterday, and I was looking at the role of husband, the role of father, the role of friend, the role of church member, the overall role as mentor. I just kept thinking, "Well done, well done." And at the end of the day, it does no good for me to declare "well done." My declaration doesn't mean anything. It accentuates what other people know. In the case of Bob yesterday, it was an amen thing. It wouldn't have been anything that's debated. But Jesus has the final say. And I'm confident he'll say, "Well done." The Bible tells us that we'll stand in front of Jesus one day, not just a couple of us, all of us. And the other thing that's a mystery is that none of us know when it will be. None of us know when our time will be to stand in front of Jesus. If your plan as a Christian is talking about in years to come, as soon as your kids leave home, or as soon as your kids grow up, or as soon as you get out of school and get a job, or as soon as this happens, or as soon as that happens, that's really a bad plan. I remember reading as Jesus was telling the story about the man who was trying to get everything in this world, so he built bigger barns and bigger barns. The Bible said he was foolish. Don't you know that tonight your soul will be required of thee? You'll stand in front of Jesus. He had no idea. He had plans. We have plans, don't we? You sure about those plans? You know they're going to happen? The one thing that you know is going to happen is we're going to stand in front of Jesus. And I don't think we're prepared because we don't think about that nearly as much as we think about the acclamation that we're supposed to receive from all these other things that we do. I want us to look at the picture that Jesus paints for us about this very day that each one of us will have. He gives us this picture in Matthew chapter 25. So turn to Matthew chapter 25. In some of your Bibles, this parable may be listed as the parable of the talents. You need to know before we start reading that it would be a misinterpretation to say this is a physical talent that he gave someone. A talent is a measure of weight. It doesn't necessarily mean gold or silver, but it could be a weight of that. So it's telling you an amount. He gave some people this amount. He gave other people this amount. Matthew 25. I'll read it through. Remember, this is Jesus speaking. Put a picture in your mind of Jesus speaking, knowing that a parable, first of all, a parable is a story that is given to us so that we can see the real picture. Parable comes from the two words, para and bola. These words mean para means beside of, like a parallel. That's where we get the word parallel. Para means beside of. And bola comes from the word, we get our word ball from boa, bola. So it's the same as to throw beside of, to throw beside of. That's what a parable is. Jesus throws a story beside of an actual thing so that we can really get a grasp of it. Isn't that neat? So this is the picture. He's going to throw this picture beside of because he knows this will be something that your mind, that will impact your mind. So it says, for the kingdom of heaven, that is what we're talking about, right? Is a man traveling into a far country who called his own servants and delivered unto them his goods. And unto one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and another 1, to every man according to his several ability. And straightway he took his journey. Then he that had received the 5 talents went and traded with the same and made them other 5 talents. And likewise, he that had received the 2, he also gained other 2. But he that had received the 1 went and digged in the earth and hid his Lord's money. After a long time, the Lord of those servants cometh and reckoneth with him. And so he that had received 5 talents came and brought other 5 talents, saying, Lord, thou deliverest unto me 5 talents. Behold, I've gained beside them 5 talents more. His Lord said unto him, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord, of thy Lord. He also that had received 2 talents came and said, Lord, thou deliverest unto me 2 talents. Behold, I have gained 2 other talents besides them. His Lord said unto him, well done, good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. Then he which had received the 1 talent came and said, Lord, I knew thee that thou art a hard man, reaping where thou hast not sown and gathering where thou hast not strawed. And I was afraid and went and hid thy talent in the earth. Lo, there thou hast, that is thine. His Lord answered and said unto him, thou wicked and slothful servant. Thou knewest that I reap where I sowed not and gathered where I have not strawed. Thou oughtest therefore to have put my money to the exchangers. And then at my coming, I should have received mine own with usury, which means interest. Take therefore the talent from him and give it to him which hath 10 talents. For every one that hath shall be given, and he shall have an abundance. But from him that hath not shall be taken away even that which he hath. And cast ye the unprofitable servant into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. The man who gave the talents was the Lord. The man who goes on the journey, that's our Lord Jesus Christ. He's representing himself. He came to a journey here. We've just celebrated Easter. We celebrated the salvation that he gave us. And he ascended back into heaven. And he will return. The master, the Lord, this is a picture of Jesus. And the servants represent professing believers given different levels of responsibility. Professing believers. And what we see is that the talents represent the opportunities that the Lord gives those servants. And what the master wants for each servant, basically, is faithfulness. If you'll notice, at the end, he said, well done, my good and faithful servant. He was looking for faithfulness with the opportunities. Faithfulness with the opportunities. Faithfulness with every opportunity. That means he was looking for them to do something with what he gave them. The servant who was given 5 talents and the servant who was given 2 talents used what they were given and it produced more. A talent basically is a measure of weight, and it represents the resource, the opportunity, and the responsibility that the Lord gives the servant. Now notice that each servant was rewarded by the master of those first 2. Listen to these two ways. The master said, "Well done, thy good and faithful servant." Well done. What a huge reward. A lot of us, boy, we're striving on this earth for the good job, the attaboy, the acclamation, for others to say, "Wow, you did that great." And people are quick to recognize people for things that are done here. I've never in my life, never thought I would see so many award shows on TV. There's an award show every time you turn it on. We give awards all the time, don't we? Recognition, in recognition of this, in recognition of that. Is that bad? No, it's not bad. But I think we've geared our mind towards the recognition here. Every parent, I tell you what, we sit at our kid's activity or event and we're rooting for our kid because we want our kid to be recognized. Well, why didn't they say this about mine? Or why didn't they do this about mine? Instead, has the thought entered our mind, well, what is the Lord going to say about mine? Am I helping them in that way as much as I'm trying to get them recognized this other way? It's really easy to get off target, isn't it? The second thing that he says, this is pretty big. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. Enter into my joy. Now, what is joy? There is no part of joy that has heartache, suffering, misfortune, trouble, anything sad, right? Enter into my joy. That is to say, enter into my rest. Enter into my safety. Enter into my jubilation. Enter into my joy. So the first thing is, you get the acclaim from the master. Well done, my good and faithful servant. The next thing is, come on in. Come on in. Inclusion. That is the opposite of separation, right? But the servant who received the one talent and did nothing with it was punished. This servant was unmasked as a hypocrite. You say, I thought you said they were all, these represented professing believers. Believers are different than professing believers. Did you hear that? Believers are different than professing believers. A professing believer is someone who is professing something. A believer is an actual believer. You want to be both, right? But this last servant was unmasked as a hypocrite, and he was punished. This servant was not a true servant. You say, how do you know? This servant tried to justify his own laziness and failure to serve by giving excuses. Did you hear that? By giving excuses. Here's why I didn't. Here's why I can't. I've got to do this. I've got to do that. As if something in this temporary world is more important than something that you know the master wants you to do. Here's why I couldn't. If I were to look at the book of excuses that you hear, I were to look at my own book, how big would your book be? This is why I can't. Some of those are verbalized. Some of them are just in our mind. Here's why I can't. Well, don't you know we've got to do this? And here's what we've got to do. It's almost as if, okay, this order came in from a bigger master. This was the master of my pleasure, and they demand that I do this, and I'm going to put this above the master that I'm claiming to have. This is the master of my finances. You remember Jesus said you can't serve God and mammon, right? This is the master of my finance, so this is what I must do because I have to neglect some of my time because this must be maintained. That master is the master you serve, whether you like it or not. That master, if that master is dictating what you do over the other master, here's a news flash. You're serving that master first. Nobody wants to hear that. But you don't understand. I have to do that. This is what this involves. And you know, I'm going to be okay because I'm going to do that. I'm going to do this and I'm going to do that. That master is dictating your day. There'll be different masters that dictate your day of worship today. You'll gear your day of worship around those and you'll leave thinking, you know, I came today. That's great. Your master thanks you. It's good that nothing else was going on and he appreciates you being here. But it's dictated by the other master. We've worked this in, and so we think we're good. I've done that before. I've been in that spot before. I really didn't even recognize it. I'd have got mad at the person that told me, and you might get mad at me today, and that's okay. That's okay. Because I'm really more concerned about the day you stand in front of Jesus. I really am. Verse 24, the servant's true colors come out because he makes a statement in Matthew 25. And listen to this. It says, he which had received the one talent came and said, Lord, I knew thee that thou art a hard man, reaping where thou hast not sown and gathering where thou hast not straw. And I was afraid and went and hid thy talent in the earth. And lo, there thou hast is thine. And his Lord answered and said unto him, thou wicked and slothful servant, thou knewest that I reap where I sowed not and gather where I have not strawed. That's the question. He was saying, you know that about me? See, that was a false statement. The Lord was not a hard man reaping where he had not sown. The truth comes out. This servant didn't even know the master. This servant wasn't real. This servant was professing, but there were no fruits. There were no works. He wasn't the master of that servant. So how do you know? Well, the master put that servant out. Depart from me. Outer darkness, that's separation, right? Jesus is the what? He's the light. Outer darkness means you've been separated from him. Jesus gave us this picture to show us that we all have to stand in front of him to be judged by him. And I started thinking about those that hear the master say, well done. I thought about the impact that they made in this world while they were occupying the body of flesh that they have. Those people use the opportunities, the talents that the Lord gave them. And that's what we have to do. We have to be these servants that use the opportunities that he gives us. The first opportunity that he gives every one of us is the opportunity of salvation. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Amen. Whosoever, right? This world is made up of whosoevers. And then after they receive that opportunity and take that opportunity, they'll receive other opportunities to use their salvation to impact others. If you've accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, you truly, truly have, then he has given you other opportunities on which he will assess your servantship and be able to say, well done, you've been faithful in those opportunities that I've given you. I thought about the phrase, well done. I'm going to go English teacher on you here for just a minute. If you know me, you know I'm a little grammar nut, but done, as far as well done, done is a past participle of the word do. It means finished. It means completed. Do is what we're commanded to do. Think about the phrase, I want you to do this, I want you to do this, I want you to do this. This is all in order for something to happen in the future, right? Can you do this? That means you haven't done this. Nobody comes in and says, hey, I do this right now. Except some of our pro athletes that you might hear interviewed. But no, that's not the way we speak. Do is something we're going to. Done is something that we have finished, right? Doing is what we are accomplishing at the present time. Do, doing, done. Do is what Jesus gave us, the Master. Doing is what we're doing now. And done is when we're finished. Done is what we have accomplished based on what we had to do and how we used our time and opportunity doing it. Now, for Jesus to say, well done, is to say, you did what I gave you to do. Some he gave five areas or five weights. Some he gave two, no matter what. Do you know that they were both blessed the same? Both blessed the same. You did what I gave you to do, and you continued doing it until I came to meet with you. You finished what you had to do. You used the opportunities I gave you, and you used them well. Well done. When Jesus says to you and I, well done, he will say, you did what I gave you to do, and you continued doing it until I came to meet with you. You finished what you had to do. You used the opportunities I gave you, and you used them well. Well done. Did you hear that? Now, how is that applying? I have to look at my life, and you have to look at yours. I will not judge you, and you can judge me, but it won't matter because you're not my judge, and I'm not yours. So judge yourself. Examine yourself. Because we all are given opportunities while we're in this body. This first opportunity is salvation. The rest of the opportunities are service to the Master. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 talks about the difference in our earthly existence and our heavenly existence. It talks about the temporary nature of this earthly home and the permanent nature of heaven. It also tells us that our earthly life is given to us to labor for the Lord. And that we will be judged on how we serve him in our earthly body. Listen. This is a picture of death to life. Death to eternal life. We're given it for a reason. Listen to 2 Corinthians 5. For we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God, not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. It's talking about our earthly body, this temporary body. For in this we groan, earnestly desiring to be clothed upon with our house, which is from heaven. If so being that we are clothed, we shall not be found naked. For we that are in this tabernacle do groan, being burdened, not for that we had been clothed, but clothed upon, that mortality might be swallowed up of life. Now he that hath wrought for us the selfsame thing is God, who hath given us the earnest of the Spirit. Therefore we are always confident, knowing that while we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord. For we walk by faith, not by sight. Stop right there. While we're at home in the body, we're absent from the Lord. Do you realize the Lord is on his journey? While we're at home in this earthly body, look at your hand. Look at your arm. This is your earthly body. This is what houses you. This means you're alive if you're in here this morning, right? While you're in this earthly body, this tabernacle, and he uses the word tabernacle. I've explained it to you before. Tabernacle is a word for tent. Nobody sets up a tent as a permanent dwelling. This body is not a permanent dwelling. It's a tent that we live in. While you're at home in this tent, you're absent from the Lord. But you won't be absent from the Lord forever. You'll stand in front of the Lord. I'll stand in front of the Lord. He goes on to explain this. He says, for we walk by faith and not by sight. We're confident, I say, willing rather to be absent from the body and present with the Lord. Wherefore we labor that whether present or absent, we may be accepted of him. Stop right there. Listen. We labor. Why do we labor? That whether we're with him or without him, we're accepted by him. Whether I'm in this body, not with the Lord right now, or I'm with the Lord that I may be accepted of him. That's what my labor is about. Listen to verse 10. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad. We don't preach a lot on this, do we? You know why? It's judgment. Gets people mad at the preacher and they don't want to come back. Makes us dig deeper down into our excuse pit. Have you ever thought, or do you ever think about that day? Do you think you will hear "well done" from Jesus? So today, let's think past this life and let's think about the day we stand in front of Jesus. Everyone will have this day of judgment. Hebrews 9:27 says it's appointed unto man once to die, and after this, what? The judgment. The Bible tells us that believers and non-believers will be judged. Believers will be judged at something called the judgment seat of Christ, and non-believers will be judged at the great white throne judgment. For Christian believers, those who are saved, listen, those who are saved. 1 Corinthians 3:11 through 16, I'll read it to you. It talks about those that have put Jesus in as their first opportunity, their foundation. For other foundation can no man lay that has laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now, if any man build upon this foundation, gold, silver, precious stone, wood, hay, and stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. If any man's work abide, which he hath thereupon, he shall receive a reward. Well done, my good and faithful servant. Just thought I would throw that in. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. Know ye not that you are the temple of God, and the Spirit of God dwelleth in you? This judgment that we stand in front of Jesus, all these things, these superficial things that we want down here, these things that we work towards all the time, these things that are on our mind, this is what we want, this is what we want, this is what we have to have, and then we work these other things in. Understand, when we stand in front of Jesus, these works, he puts these in the categories of gold and silver, precious stones, and then wood, hay, and stubble. We know that wood, hay, and stubble burn up, right? We know that gold and silver, once they are tried by fire, they become more pure, right? They don't burn up. So understand, he's put our works in these categories, and he said, if all of your works have no substance, if they are works that are wood, hay, and stubble, then you're going to stand in front of God, and those works will be burned up. The only thing that can't be burned up, if you're truly a Christian, is your salvation. In Romans 14, listen to verses 10 through 12. Listen to this. For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. For it is written, as I live, saith the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess to God. So then every one of us shall give an account of himself to God. Every one of us shall give an account of himself to God. I hear all the time why somebody can't be somewhere. And then some, they just don't say it. You just don't see them, but half the time. And it's the unseen thing. We're not going to say anything, but if you do, we've got it prepared. Listen, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter that I know. It doesn't matter. I'm going to go ahead and tell you. I don't even need to know. I don't even need to know. It's not me that's judging you. We're going to stand in front of Jesus. He can blow those things right out of the water. Because he knows our mind. He knows the intents of our heart. He knows what master we're really serving. That's humbling to think about, isn't it? Hey, it's not my picture this morning. I'm showing you the picture of Jesus. So then every one of us shall give an account of himself to God. Christians. Will give an account to the master. For non-believers, or even those who believe that there was a God but never accepted Jesus as their Savior, those that never repented of their sins to God and meant it, they never used the salvation that Jesus offered, those people will be judged at the great white throne judgment. Lots of church members will be at the great white throne judgment. People that believed in the idea of God. They believed in the historical Jesus, but they never made it theirs. They never truly repented of their sins, confessed and believed that, hey, I am lost and doomed for hell unless I accept the salvation that God has given me through Jesus. Forgive me, I am a sinner. Come into my heart, Lord Jesus, and save me. Use your blood to cover my sins. I believe you died for me. I am so sorry. I want to live for you. Be my Lord. We're back to the Lord and servant here, right? Master and servant. Be my Lord. Well, if you've made somebody your Lord, what are you agreeing to do for them? For this judgment, in Revelation 20, verse 10 through 15, this white throne judgment, this is what it sounds like. See, the final resting place for all those who refused Jesus or think they did but were not sincere. Maybe they were this third servant, hypocritical. Their final resting place is not hell, it's the lake of fire. That's the eternal hell. It says, and the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone where the beast and the false prophet are, and they shall be tormented day and night forever and ever. How long is that? And I saw a great white throne and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were open. Another book was opened, which was the book of life, and the dead were judged out of these things which were written in the books according to their works. And the sea gave up their dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up their dead which were in them. And they were judged, every man according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death, and whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. For this judgment, for unbelievers, there will be no one who hears, well done. There will be begging and pleading from people who thought they were Christians, but they didn't see the importance of their salvation and the responsibility to serve the Lord. After all, we wouldn't want to get stumped on the first question standing in front of Jesus, who says, you called me Lord, but you didn't serve me? You called me Lord, but you didn't serve me? What does a servant call the one they serve Lord and Master? In Matthew chapter 7, verse 20 through 23, these people spent their life serving themselves, but they were claiming to be servants of Christ. Listen to what Jesus says. Wherefore, by their fruits you shall know them. Not everyone that saith to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name have we not cast out devils? And in thy name have we not done many wonderful works? And then I will profess to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you that work iniquity. How is those people, each one of those people, how is their excuse bank, how is their mind going to be whenever he says, you called me Lord? Where's your fruits? Surely if I was truly your Lord, there would be some fruits. Am I preaching that you're saved by works? Absolutely not. I'm preaching that if you're saved, you'll want to do some works. Amen. The Bible says faith without works is dead. So at the end of this, I ask you today, what will our day look like when we stand in front of Jesus? Our day. What have we done with our opportunities that we've had to serve Him in this earthly life while we've been in this tent, while we've been in this tabernacle? What master have we really served? Now in your mind, take everybody else out of the picture that might agree with you, and it's just you and Jesus, because that's how it's going to be one day. When you stand in front of Him and call Him Lord, what will His response be to you? I hope, I pray that you will hear, well done. He paints a picture to make us think, and I thank Him this week for the thought of life and death. I thank Him this week for just the picture of a broken heart. I am happy that I've seen the evidence of some that have went before, and I'm sure they're going to hear well done. I'm saddened by the fact that we hold on to this earthly mindset of these things that we must think are more important than what the Master tells us to do. And none of them will matter one day. Today I want you to use this time of invitation to talk to your Master. If you've never accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, you're not sure, I want you to make sure you talk to Him today. He wants to give you the first opportunity, the first talent, which is salvation. Jesus died for you so that you could come to God. He shed His blood for you so that you could ask Him to forgive you of your sins and to ask Him to be Lord of your life and believe that He died for you and own it and begin to be that true servant. Use that opportunity today. If you've never done that, be right here. I would love to pray with you. We'll make sure that you can meet the Master. If you have met Him today, you have to know that you will meet Him again. Will it be a good day or a bad day? It's nothing to be afraid of, because the opportunity is for it to be a good day. You see, this can be a great message or it can be a message that's hard. It's not up to me. It's up to you. It's up to me for myself. It's up to you for yourself. Talk to God this morning during this invitation. Pray with me. Father God, I love You and I praise You and I thank You for this day. I pray, God, Your Word impacts those lives that are here. I thank You for the picture that You've given us, Lord. I pray, God, that it compels people to come to You this morning in Jesus' name. Amen.